During these Sundays of Lent, I've been preaching on this question: who is Jesus? The first week we talked about Jesus is the new Adam. Last week, Jesus is the beloved. And this week, Jesus is the... Well, let me ask you, what do you think it is? Jesus is the... Kent, what do you think? Jesus is the... Begins with a T. Anybody? Jesus is the...
Temple.
Temple. You heard the homily last night. That's cheating. There's some cheaters here. Doing the double mass of the weekend at St. Rose. Yes, Jesus is the temple. It's in the scriptures. It talks about his own body being the temple. You know, he says, tear down this temple, destroy this temple, and I will raise it in 3 days. He was speaking about the temple of his body. Well, before we go any further, we want to talk about what is a temple, first of all. Easy definition of a temple. A temple is where God dwells. A temple is where God dwells. You go to meet God there. And so in the Old Testament, there's many different temples. So first of all, you have the temple in the tent where Moses and the people are going through the desert. They worship God in this tabernacle, this tent. They set up this holy place. They worship God there. And then they pack up the tent and they keep on walking. And they set it up again. That's kind of like the early temple. And then at about 950 BC, King David says, Lord, you've been dwelling in a tent for way too long. We're here in Jerusalem. We're building a city. Like, let me build you a temple. And who builds the temple? It's not David. It's Solomon. King Solomon, his son, builds that temple. That's called the first temple of Jerusalem. And it was big and beautiful, and sacrifice was offered there. It's where God dwelt. If you want to meet the living God, you would go to Jerusalem to the temple, and you would worship. You'd offer sacrifice. Well, then, around 586, those pesky Babylonians came in, and they burned it to the ground. They destroyed the first temple. They deported the Jews to Babylon. They just wrecked the kingdom. The temple was no more. But then 70 years later, when those exiles come back from Babylon, they rebuilt the temple. This is the second temple in Jerusalem. And you can read about that in the books in the Bible, Ezra and Nehemiah. They recount the building again of the temple, even greater than the previous one. Big, beautiful, a dwelling place of God where worship happens. And then in that same temple, 20 years before Jesus was born, about 20 BC, King Herod decides, you know what, we're going to renovate this temple. We're going to make it even more beautiful. And so they're adding gold and marble and ornamentation to this entire thing. He expands the footprint of the temple to be 10 times its previous size. Massive courts where people can come in and worship, all from around the Middle East. And during the time of Jesus, they're still working on it. That's why they say, this has been under construction for 46 years, and you're going to rebuild this temple in 3 days? It's Herod's renovation they're talking about. It wasn't even done until 64 AD. There's actually a place in the Gospels right before Jesus' passion where the disciples are walking through the temple precincts, and one of the disciples says to Jesus, teacher, look at what wonderful stones are here. Look at these wonderful buildings here in the temple. And is Jesus like, oh yeah, that's amazing? No, he says, I tell you, there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. He's prophesying that in 70 AD, those pesky Romans had enough of the Jews trying to rebel and kick them out of their land, that they came in and leveled the temple for good. They burned Jerusalem, took up all the stones down, and the temple has never been rebuilt. There has never been animal sacrifices offered once again there. You can go and see the ruins. You can see the Wailing Wall, and there's like a mosque on top. There's all these little places, but there is no temple. It's never been rebuilt. Where is the temple? It's no longer just one place. It's now a person. The risen body of Jesus Christ is the new temple. To meet Jesus is to encounter the place where God dwells. And to know Jesus and to be in him and with him is to offer true worship to God. In his very flesh, in his very body, in his very humanity, he is the temple. Through him and with him and in him is sacrifice and worship offered to God the Father in the way he desires. And so the people in the temple, they think Jesus is talking about a building. Like, how are you going to rebuild this in 3 days? He was speaking of the temple of his body, which would be torn down on the cross and would be raised on the third day and would live forever and ever. Jesus is the temple. He's the place where God dwells. Well, what does this mean for us? Well, if Jesus is the temple, and if you and I are baptized into Jesus, and if we are members of his mystical body, he the head and we the members, then that means that you and I are temples of God. Places where God dwells, people in whom God dwells. This is why St. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? And this you have from God? You are not your own, you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." Glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. And in just a few minutes, we're going to incense this altar and the gifts. Like, why do we do that? We have this incense. I've got my veteran Thurifer incenser, Will, helping me out this morning. You know, this morning when we came in, I incensed the altar because it's holy. And I incensed the book of the Gospels because the Word of God is holy. And we're going to incense the gifts on this altar, the bread and wine, because they're holy. And then Will is going to incense me. He's going to incense you. Why? Anyone? Why? Because you are holy. You are temples of the Most High. You're now one with Jesus, who is the temple. And in you, God dwells, and in you, true sacrifice and worship happens. In your very flesh. Even at the end of your lives, the church does not forget this. Just this week, we had the funeral here for Rita Raycotts. And at the end of that funeral, before the final sending, where we brought her body in the casket to the hearse, we brought out that incense, and I incensed her casket. I mean, that's not entirely her. That's just her body. Her soul is with God. That's just her flesh. It's lifeless. But why do we do that? Because in this life on earth, her very flesh was a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we do not forget that at the very end. We reverence that. We honor that. We hold as holy the places where God dwells, even in the human body. So I talked about Jesus as the temple. I just talked about how you and I, joined to Christ, are temples. Finally, what do we do with that this Lent? Where do we take that in this Lenten season? Well, think about this. If the temple is a place where worship happens, and I am a temple of the Lord, does worship happen within me? Do I find worship in myself? Like, for example, some of you may have a gym membership, okay? And you may go there like 3 times a week, but if you just go to the gym, which is a place for working out, and you just kind of like walk in for 90 minutes, and you kind of look at the TVs, and you see people, you know, working out, and you look around, and maybe you look at what's on for sale, like the protein powder and the granola bars, and you don't actually work out. You just look around and leave after 90 minutes. Did working out happen in that gym for you? No. Or maybe you're part of some kind of like college or course, and you go to that campus, and you walk around campus, you look at the trees, you see students carrying their books around, but you never attend a lecture, and you never do any like coursework, and you don't like do anything for your degree. You may have gone to the campus, but did you actually learn anything? Or think about if you go to like the Twins Stadium, Target Field, But you go there a day when they're not playing, and you see the field, you see everything happening there, you see the skyscrapers, but you never actually watch them play because they aren't playing that day. Have you actually used the stadium for what it's for? So if we are temples of God, do we find worship within us? Do we actually engage the deepest purpose for which we are made? To offer worship and sacrifice to God the Father, to dwell in the joy of the Lord, to have the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Do other people meet us as a place where there's honor and worship of God happening? That means that during my life, like during the week, do I want to praise God? Do I just say, Lord, I praise you because you are so good. I give you all my honor. I reverence you today. I love you. Like more than just on Sunday, do we have praise of God welling up within us? Just wanting to honor and love the Lord. That's worship happening within the temple. And then secondly, do we reverence our very bodies? Do we keep free from all immorality, all bodily things that would pervert us and corrupt us? Do we keep ourselves clean and free from sin, obeying the commandments? Do we keep our minds set on higher things? When you go to a church or temple, you expect your mind to be like lifted up to like what's heavenly and what's important. In your mind, do you let in the door things that are holy and uplifting and noble? Do you look at holy images? Do you read holy things? Do you read the scriptures? Lent is a good time to separate ourselves from all the junk we can drink into our minds from our screens and from the world and from our culture. Are our minds full of worship as temples of God? And finally, do our very bodies as temples of the Lord, do they offer love and goodness to others? You know, from the temple in Jerusalem, they would send out gifts and offerings and help to the poor. It was a place where people actually were served and helped from the gifts that people brought. The poor were served. People were enabled to go out in word and deed, help others. From your body that is a temple, are you generous? Do you go out and give to the poor, give alms? Do you look at others as the beloved of God, like we talked about last week? Is your very body a temple where God's encountered and his love is felt? That's what it means to be the temple. That's what it means to live out this Lent, to live out the truth that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Finally, this is taken for granted, but when we worship, do we actually engage every single week in the Eucharist? You know, honoring the Lord's Day is just obvious for Catholics. So every week, every Lord's Day, we come here to worship, come here to love the Lord our God in a community, right? The living stones of the church that you are. Do we come here willingly and lovingly? And do we come here and really respond to the Lord? I think we're growing in that at St. Rosa Lima in many ways. Last night, I was smiling all during the Liturgy of the Word and the psalm because in the very back of church, little Leo, who's one of our little three-year-olds at the parish, whenever Art was singing from the ambo and lifted up his hand for everyone to join in, little Leo back there just went, every single time I was cracking up. And when I lifted up the book of the Gospels from the altar and I walked around with it, Leo lifts up his hymnal and begins walking around the pew. He is so into worship. He is like right with the Lord. It was so beautiful. And I was like, man, Lord, make us that we're like that. Like, can we be so engaged in worship in the Eucharist as temples of the living God that we have like reckless abandon like little Leo and wanting to respond and to sing and to kneel down and to lift up our minds to the living God? That's how we want to be temples of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord give us the grace to be his temples, to keep ourselves clean and spotless for him, and to love the Lord our God, and to find worship within us every single day.